Amen. Would you pray with me real quick? Lord, we're so very thankful for the anthem of that song, that in fact, Lord, when we are at our weakest, you are still strong, you are sovereign, you are seated on the throne, and you are fighting for us. Paul would say, when I'm weak, then I'm strong, because my strength does not rest in myself and what I can do, but because of the one who lives within me and who's gone before me. And we are so very thankful that we have you fighting for us. For when we are weak, then we are strong. We are thankful that, God, you are going before us, that in this world we will have trouble, but we can take heart because you overcome it. I thank you so very much for the hope that we have in Jesus. And I just pray this morning, as we've experienced a wonderful time of worship, that we would continue to seek you and learn from you. And we would learn about wisdom today, wisdom through the trials. God, may you receive all the glory, praise, and honor today. In your name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much, Sydney. I appreciate that, girl. I enjoy hearing you sing that more than the other girl. I really mean that. Did a great job. I want to welcome you back this morning to Russellville First Baptist Church. And I want to go ahead and invite you to turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. We began our study on the book of James 2 weeks ago. I hope you're enjoying it as much as I am. And what we've found so far is that James is the half-brother of Jesus, right? James is a skeptic-turned-believer. James is one who went from doubting Jesus to saying, he is Lord over me, and I'm serving under him. He is master, he's owner. That's what that word Lord, kurios, means in the Greek. He's Lord, master, owner of my life. I am servant, I am slave to him, I follow him. He is not just my brother, no, he is Lord of all. Last week, we asked this question as we looked at verse 2 through verse 4. What's the purpose of trials and tests? And we talked about how growing up, some of us may have liked pop quizzes and unexpected tests, but I would assume that the overall majority of us do not or did not. But we talked about the purpose of the trials and the purpose of the tests. And what we found from reading the text is that the purpose of trials is increased faith. It's allowing the work of perseverance to be perfected so that we might be mature in Christ. And ultimately, as we finished with, it's working to an eternal glory with Jesus Christ our Lord. James tells us that the trials and the tests placed in our path and in our path and that come from Jesus and living for Jesus are placed there to grow us and to conform us into the image of Jesus and push us forward. We're going to pick up today in verse 2 in just a moment, and we're going to go through verse 8 today. Once again, I had great intentions, church. I thought we were going to get through verse 12 today, but we will next week. I can promise you that. But today, we're going to look at verse 2 through 8, really with a focus on verse 5 through verse 8. But before we do, I want to let you know something about James. James is a little bit different than all the other authors in the Bible. Yes, he's the brother of Jesus, that separates him, we know. That separates him from other authors. But there's something else different about James. You see, James' letter, if you read it, especially in the Greek, which I cannot read fluently, so I'm not going to try to do that this morning, it doesn't have the most structure. And this frustrates the theologians, it frustrates the experts, because James jumps around from place to place within his work, almost like he's got ADD, okay? High definition ADD, okay? But what we must remember is that James is essentially writing this letter with a pastor's heart and mind. He's writing to encourage brothers and sisters in the faith. He's writing to exhort them while also challenging them to live a life of not just saying, but doing. But he does everything that he does, every word that he writes, everything that's spoken, he does so from a pastor's heart and the desire for us and for believers to mature in the faith. He also jumps around because he talks about real world problems that the church was facing and that we're facing today. And it's important that we remember that when we go through and we read this book. And it's even more important today in our text, because if we simply picked up in verse 5 through 8 and we read these verses, we may wonder if this is supposed to be a different section or if this ties in to verse 2 through 4. But I can assure you that it does. So I want us to pick up today in verse 2 and we'll read through verse 8. James says, verse 2, count it all joy, my brothers, Sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. If any of you, anybody, lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him or given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the sea, or by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In verse 2 through 4, what we could essentially say in summing up these verses is this. Life is hard. Life is tough. Life is rough. Life is hard. Yes, the trials have a purpose. The tests have a purpose. But life is hard. But what we find in verse 5 through verse 8 is that even though life is hard, I believe verse 5 through 8 is really showing us this. God is good. Life is tough. Life is hard. But God is good. In fact, he's very, very good. He's so good because he offers himself to us through the trials and through the test of life. Now, I don't want us to get too deep into where we were last week, but we talked about a trial, and we talked about that a trial in light of this text is referring to external afflictions, particularly persecution. And often trials in our life are like storms. I'll be honest with you, I'm not a scaredy cat when it comes to storms, but I don't care for storms. My son is at the age, he's almost 3 years old, that if he hears under, as he calls it, not thunder, under, he makes this face. Under. He's scared. And for some of us, it's tough to sleep when a storm comes our way. For others of us, we can sleep right through it. But I want you to imagine for a moment being in a boat in the middle of a storm. We see several instances of this in the Gospels, right? In fact, in one of them, we see Jesus with his disciples, and he's doing what? Sleeping. He's sleeping in the middle of the storm. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. From time to time, and this is going to tie in, I promise you, I like to go fishing. I love to go fishing. I just don't like the having to get up early to fish, but I like to go fish. But one day I went with one of my friends from my former church to go fishing. We got to his lake that he was a member of, and we pushed out his small boat. We were the only ones in the water, and we were enjoying nature at 6:30 in the morning, okay? I was trying to wake up. And for about 2 hours, we had a good time. We were catching bream, catching some crappie, catching a few bass, but then out of nowhere, a storm came. And as it came and as the rain began to pelt down, visibility became a real issue. But not only did we have to contend with the rain that was coming down, which was tough for us to see, but also the wind decided to pick up. And when the wind picked up, it pushed this little fiberglass boat back and forth and back and forth, and it tossed us, man. And I'm going to be real with you this morning. In that moment, although my face might have been stoic, I was inwardly screaming like a middle school girl at a haunted house because I had never been in a storm, in a boat, and I could not see the land because of the rain and the visibility. So I was thinking, I'm using this for dramatic emphasis, okay? I was thinking, this is the end. This is it, Jesus. This is it. This could be how I'm going to go. I could swim. I would have been all right. But all the while, as this storm is buffeting this boat, you know what I could feel? I could feel my anxiety rising, and I felt hopeless. But then things began to change for me, because when I looked at my friend Gary, I could tell that he was calm, cool, and collected. And I knew this. If I trust in Gary, he's going to get us back safely to shore. And he did. I share that with you this morning because that story kind of points to this passage. That in life we will and we are going to experience trials and tests that often feel like storms, seem like storms, and shake us like storms. But the thing to remember is that in the storms of life, not only are we not alone, but if we ask, This text tells us something. God will give us something. What am I talking about? Let's read this again. Verse 5 says this. If any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. We're going to stop there. First thing I want to draw you to is, of course, is the word wisdom. What is wisdom? What is wisdom? This word wisdom, it comes from the Greek word sophia. But what is wisdom? And we're talking about that today. And what I want to do is to ask that, what is wisdom, or what is true wisdom? And as I got to thinking about that, the Lord gave me this definition. It's not a great one, but the Lord, it is, let me phrase that, it's from the Lord, so it's a good one, okay? The Lord gave me this definition for wisdom. True wisdom is God's instruction and direction which transforms us and guides us to do what is best. True wisdom is God's instruction and direction which transforms us and guides us to do what is best. Not what is decent or not what is okay or not what is even good, but what is best. While the classical and worldly view of wisdom is sought through philosophy and through human ration, biblical wisdom is a state of humbling yourself before God, revering God, worshiping God, and ultimately following God because He knows what is best. Sometimes we get that blurred. And we think, no, I know what's best for me. Let me ask you, who knows what's better for your life, Creator or creature? Creator. So James starts out with this word wisdom. And he says something beautiful to us as we're placed in the middle of these tests and trials. He says, if any one of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. So let's stop and ask another question. Who is godly wisdom available to? Who's godly wisdom available to? What does the scripture say? It says, if anybody, anyone, any person lacks wisdom, let him do what? Let him ask God who gives generously with all without reproach, and it will be given to him. James says here, look, you're going to go through storms. You can't escape them because they're increasing your faith. They're perfecting your faith. They're leading to eternal glory. But in the middle of the storm, here's what you can do. You can ask God for wisdom through the storm. And He'll give that wisdom generously and without reproach. Without reproach means that He's going to give it to you without thumbing His nose down on you. He's going to give it to you without scolding you or condemning you or reminding you of all the times you've messed up. He's going to give it to you without making fun of you because you're coming to Him. He's saying, come to me. And I want to say something here. So often, when storms can come, what our society has the tendency to do is to seek self-help rather than God's help. You can go into the bookstore today, or you can go on Amazon, and you can type in self-help, and you will find all kinds of books about improving yourself. You may even find some from professed pastors telling you how you can be your best self now or have your best life now. But I want to say to you, that's false. And it will lead to emptiness and hopelessness. Our best now is in Christ Jesus, because self-help is banking all of our hope on who? It's me. Self-help's all about improving ourselves. We don't need self-help. We can't fix ourselves. I can't fix myself because of this thing called sin, which I caused. We don't need self-help. We need God's help. And this is so beautiful to me. James says, when the storms of life come your way, ask God for help. Ask God for His wisdom. Ask God for wisdom, and He will give it to you generously and without reproach. He won't say, God, you are not very smart. Or God, you're dumb. Or God, you're stupid. Or God, you should know this. No, He'll give it to you. Hear me though, church. I think some of us need to hear this today. Some of us don't bring our requests or concerns to God or ask for His wisdom because we either forget or we don't know the heart of God. What do I mean by that? God, at His core, is our Father. My father and mother are here this morning on the third row. I'm not going to ask them to wave their hands this morning. But I knew growing up that if I ever had any questions or concerns about life, I could ask my parents, right? I could ask them because they could help me with what was best. I still to this day call my dad when I have to fix something because I can't fix anything. As Calvin well knows, the other day helping me in my office, I have to call him for wisdom and for help. And so I know that I can count on my parents. They'll help me with questions or concerns. And I know the same thing with my dad because he's my father. Likewise, I'm a dad now. Scary sometimes to think that. But I hope that when my kids have questions or concerns or worries in life, that they'll come to me. Sometimes we forget the heart of God, that God's our Father. And James doesn't want us to. He's saying to us, look, if you're needing answers, if you're needing help through the trials, if you don't know what to do, ask your dad. Ask your father. He loves you. He wants to help you. He wants you to rely upon him. But here's the thing. Don't doubt your father. That's the progression here from verse 5 to verse 6 through verse 8. Your father is here for you. Your father loves you. Your father wants to clothe you in wisdom as you're facing trials. But you've got to trust him. You've got to ask him in faith, not doubting, because if you doubt, you're going to be like the wave of the sea. You're never going to be settled. That's the second thing we see in verse 6 through 8. In these verses, we see the difference between faith and doubt. Faith, or the Greek word pistis, is in doubt, or the Greek word diakrino. We don't have time to talk about these definitions in length today, but what we can tell is that they are fundamentally different. Faith, or the Greek word pistis, is more than just faith. It's confident, unwavering trust in God. It's conviction of the truth. We'll talk more about this at length in the future and expound upon it, but that's what I want you to know today. Doubt, or the Greek word doctrino, means to differentiate, to judge, to discriminate, to prefer. So God, our loving Father, says, if you lack wisdom, come to me in faith and it will be given to you. I'm your dad, reaching out my hand for you. Just trust in me. I know what's best for you. You're asking for wisdom. Come to me. But if you come to me with doubt, how many of us have been guilty of that? If you don't trust in me, if you want to rely on your wisdom or earthly wisdom, your life is going to feel much like mine did when I was in that boat with Gary. Your life is never going to feel settled. You're going to feel off-centered. You're going to never see the hope that lies ahead of you in Christ. But here's what I want you to know. You don't have to experience that. Yes, trials and tests and storms are coming. And yes, we doubt from time to time. I'm not saying that. Here's what I'm saying, though. When they come, we can do several things. I heard this from a pastor this week named Pastor Mark Driscoll. I don't agree with everything he says, but I liked what he said on this. He says, when a storm comes our way, we can do several things. We can fight, flight, fright, or have faith. We can fight, flight, fright, or have faith. Yes, the storms are coming, but we can trust that through the storm, there is one wanting to guide us, our Father, our Dad, our owner of our life, and give us his wisdom, and we can come to him as a child comes to his father with childlike faith. Now, you may wonder this morning, Chase, we've talked this morning all about wisdom, but you still hadn't told me, where can I find wisdom? So that's what we're going to ask now. Where can I find wisdom? You said God is going to give that to me, but where does he, and how does God give wisdom to me? Well, number one, he gives it to us here, right? And I want to say this because I love you. If you want godly wisdom apart from the word of God, you're not going to find it. If you want godly wisdom apart from the word of God, you're not going to find it. If you want godly wisdom, you won't keep this thing closed. If you want godly wisdom, you'll keep it open. Charles Spurgeon, the great theologian, once put it this way. He said, a Bible that's falling apart usually belongs to someone who isn't. Maybe you're asking, God, give me wisdom. And today he's saying to you, it's right here. I wrote a whole book on it. Read it, memorize it, live by it, and you'll know wisdom. God gives us wisdom through the Word of God. Proverbs speaks of it time and time again. God also gives us wisdom through prayer. That's the indication here in this passage that you're praying and you're asking God, God, give me wisdom. I did this last week. Some of you may notice last week I had a nice black Silverado truck in the parking lot. Maybe you didn't notice. I test drove it for the weekend, and I kept praying, God, show me through your wisdom what is best. And as much as I wanted that truck, it was pretty awesome. I had to bump it up so I could see over the steering wheel, though, because I'm short. I knew that God was saying to me at the time, this is not what is best. This is not wise. I'm not saying the truck was going to fall apart, there was anything wrong with it, but it was one of those things. I sought him through prayer, and he spoke to me and said, this is not what is best. That's the indication here. Ask God. Pray God. Pray to God. There are other sources. We can find wisdom. We can experience wisdom through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives us wisdom. We can also gain wisdom from godly teachers and from authors. We can learn wisdom from experiences. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Here's the thing to know. Trials and tests are coming. They're coming for a purpose. They're coming to increase your faith, perfect your faith, and achieve for you eternal glory. And through them, God continually offers you himself. He's your dad. And he says, come to me, run to me, ask me, trust in me, rely in me. Put all your hope, all the chips on the table in me, and I will give you wisdom. Now, James could share these words this morning and in his text because he saw them embodied in his big brother Jesus. Jesus continually, time and time again, as we see throughout the Gospels, sought the will and the wisdom of his Father. And he lived a life glorifying the Father and trusting the Father all the way to Calvary and the cross for our sins. I ask you this morning as we get ready to close, what about you? If you're experiencing trials and tests today, how are you reacting to them? How are you dealing with the storms? They're there for a purpose, believer. They're working something better than we could ever imagine because they're working to the prize of our faith, which is Jesus Christ our Lord. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know all that you've faced. I don't know all that you've lost. And I can't begin to come alongside you and say, look, I completely get this, but I can tell you this. It's leading to an eternal glory with Christ Jesus if they've placed their faith, if people in our life who we lose have placed their faith in Jesus. I ask you, what are you doing in the middle of the storms? Are you seeking self-help? Are you seeking God's help, God's wisdom? Are you coming to your loving Father and asking him to give you wisdom through the storm so that you might be able to help someone else down the line in the same situation? Or maybe you're pouting, worrying, doubting, uncertain. Today I want to encourage you to come in faith, admit your doubt. Doubt, by the way, as we've talked about with John the Baptist, can lead to greater faith. Come talk to your Father and trust in him. Come today and step out of the pew that you're sitting in and walk down here if you've never believed upon Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Come join this church if the Lord's been calling you to do so. Come follow through a believer's baptism as you've seen this wonderful picture of Avery coming today to say, live is Christ, to die is gain. Come just let us pray for you. If maybe you're going through a storm right now, let me pray for you because we're family, and what we ultimately want to do is we want to spur one another forward to Christ Jesus. However the Lord leads, I always say it, may we be faithful to follow in this time. Let's pray together. God, I thank you for today. I'm amazed every week at how good you are and how faithful you are and how awesome you are, God. And God, how you speak and how you move and how you use. And God, I thank you today for starting off with a wonderful picture of your love for us, and the sending your son, Jesus. I thank you that we can start off a service with baptism. And that Avery could come and say, I am going down this water and coming up out of this water a new person, a new creation in Christ Jesus. This is symbolic to what's already happened in my heart and my life. And the reason she can do that and we can do that is because Christ has come and submitted to the will of the Father, lived the life we could never live, and died on the cross for our sins. Yet on the third day, he resurrected from the grave, victorious over Satan's sin and death. Maybe this morning we're in some trials and we're in some tests and we're in a storm. and we feel kind of like I felt in that boat, that the visibility is tough. Life just seems foggy or hazy, or we can't see things clearly. God's saying to you, ask me for wisdom. Ask me for help. I'm your dad. I love you. Trust in me. Seek him. Seek him through his word, through prayer. As the Holy Spirit moves in your heart and life as you listen to teachers, you read books, as you learn from experiences, seek him. Maybe today the Holy Spirit's working in your heart and life, calling you to leave where you're sitting right now in this moment in time and come down this aisle and say you want to believe upon Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, as Master and Owner of your life. You want to submit to him. You want to follow him because you want to find the life that you've been missing in Christ. I encourage you to come. If you've been visiting with us a while and you think, man, today's the day. We need to come out. We need to step down. We need to join this church. I want to encourage you to do that. You want to follow through a baptism. You made a decision before you were baptized at an earlier age and then you accepted Christ later on. You've never really followed through with doing that over, doing it right. You want to do that. Be faithful to do so. You just need to pray. Life is tough. Life is hard. We need to come here and just let our guards down and know that we're one in Christ. We're a body. Come, let's pray for you. Lord, we pray that you be glorified, magnified, and honored in this invitation. In your name we pray. Amen. I want to ask you to go ahead and stand this morning for our invitation.